Gathering together for our Christmas celebration, just to thank you ahead of time for the gift that's already come in. This would be really an extra gift. The class gift I've already given on behalf of the whole class already, because they needed to buy the things ahead of time. So that's done already. So this would be an extra gift that will be given. So this is something that we want to, you know, attempt to look at. So it's been a great joy to just think about how we can share this with other people, and don't lose sight of that particular thing that we want to consider. Right. So let Christmas be a time of special joy and remembrance, and you know, this is something that we don't want to take for granted, right? So yeah, lots of challenges. Well, thank God for His ministry to different people, and we have begun a post youth conference thing. Can you hear? Okay, just want to, you know, just to pray for the young people as they keep on learning deeper things. And it's just wonderful to see them wanting to respond, able to respond, able to relate. And that's something very, very special. And it's sometimes we take for granted they will know how to respond, not necessarily. But to just see them being able to give of their hearts, of their lives to the Lord, and this is something kind of special in more ways than one. Okay, so just so looking forward to next week. This week, today, we will have another Baptist Bowl service. We have another 10 more to go. And then next week, with the third one, is another 10 more to go. So we've got a lot of people coming in during this period of time, and it was something to be happy about, something to rejoice in. You know, may this joy that's there be very real, and it will continue to be there. Lots of things to ponder over. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for a challenging chapter to read and to understand. We pray that you'll help us to be filled with a special sense of understanding and wisdom and joy as we read your word. We pray for much mercy and grace to comprehend and to apply these lessons we read about in our life. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, now we're going to look at Revelation 21. And this one can be very interesting, can be difficult depending upon how we understand this, right? So let's look at the next segment, and this is a slightly longer because you're very hard to disconnect them. So because of that, we're just going to try to describe this whole idea of it, right? So beginning from verse 9, and we talk about the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues, right? And they came to talk with me and say, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem. Now, this is a very challenging text to read and to understand, because we are looking at literally, the focus is Jerusalem. Now, this is something that is difficult for us to understand, because we don't have that kind of relationship that Israel actually very carefully maintained, right? But it's something that we need to consider, because we are looking at Jerusalem being compared, right? Now, sometimes we reverse it and we think that this is the Lamb's wife, and we read it wrongly. It is about Jerusalem, compared to a lamb's, to the lamb's wife, not the other way around. Right? Now, the reason is simply because we want to move on into how did the, to the writer, right? How do you want to compare something special? And the comparison is not comparing a wife to a wife. Then there's no comparison. But when you compare, you make a comparison between Jerusalem and the Lamb's wife, then you get a connection. So you're trying to describe that which is the most beautiful, and you say it's a reference to the bride. This is therefore a description of Jerusalem, not a bride. That makes sense to you? Right? So you've got to catch the points of comparison. Right? So the point of comparison is to say, I will show you the Lamb's wife. And then we are shown the city of Jerusalem. And all the description is to show to us about Jerusalem. But remember, Jerusalem and the Lamb's wife are not the same. Right? But the idea here is to tell you what it means. That Jerusalem, in God's understanding, in God's sight, is a beautiful city. How to describe the beauty of the city? You compare it to the most wonderful thing, the Lamb's wife. So we mustn't miss the point, because we talk about it, and this is the Lamb. We wonder, how come the Lamb's wife is square? This is not a very good description. How can it be a square? And then it's very tall. It is very, it doesn't make much sense. Right? So we are looking at the city of Jerusalem here. Now, this is very important for us to bear in mind. How to compare a beautiful city? And the beautiful, the comparison made is to compare it with the beauty of a beautiful bride. That's what we are looking at. Right? I hope you understand the point of comparison rather than focus on, unfortunately, we look, oh, this is the Lamb's wife. Then everything is about the Lamb's wife. Right? Now, there's no question about the fact that the church is a bride of the Lord Jesus and in His sight, beautiful. Right? And this is something that we need to look at, you know, what it really means. I guess it's something that we sort of take for granted. When people are married for too long, they sort of, you know, this one is whatever you want to, this is the old man. I don't know why people like that. When in reply, this is the old woman. Why? It's not very flattering things like that. And so I think the one of the most amazing statements I ever heard was I met up with an old friend. That they have been married for the longest time. And, I have not seen him for so long. And he said to me, I want to introduce you to my bride. Bride. They were married for 40 years. And what he said, I want to introduce you to my bride. I think it's how challenging it can get. Right? So this is a term that I've never heard used before. Who is this? I don't know, but you know. And it's kind of sad to see this. There was a story told about this woman who worked very hard as a wife. Then her husband had the twinge of conscience, and he realized he was not being very nice to the wife. So he took time off from his work. He came home early. He stopped to buy some chocolates. He stopped to buy some flowers, and he also stopped by to buy a bottle of wine. And he didn't bring his keys with him from his house. So he went on there. And he came in early afternoon. And then the wife had to work very, very hard. And he rang the doorbell and the wife looked at him astonished. There he is, chocolate, flowers, and a wine bottle. And she said, I've had a long, long day. And now what do I have? A drunken husband. You see, we've lost the art and ability to appreciate. And I think this is something that we sometimes kind of hard to understand. But this, the comparison is Jerusalem to the Lamb's wife, rather than the focus on the Lamb's wife. I hope you understand the whole thrust of it all, because this helps us to understand. So the question is, what is Jerusalem? And something that very difficult for us to understand, but until you go back to the Psalms, let's look at the Psalms a little bit to give us a picture of what this is all about, right? Particularly the sons of Korah, the Korahic Psalms are very interesting to study because they really talk very, very much about what it means for these are the Psalms of Korah, and they're there to describe a lot of things that happen. Psalm 80, for example, it's a psalm that talks about a prayer for restoration. Right? Psalm 80, restore us, O God. This is very important. Okay? And verse 7, restore us, O God of hosts. So this is a very key word, verse 14, return to us. And so this is very important. Well, this is the Psalm of Asaph, and there we have all these things. So Psalms of Asaph is also one of them, and you want to appreciate the challenge which are there. Right, Psalm 79. Okay, the nations have come into your inheritance. Your holy temple defiled. They have laid Jerusalem in heaps. The dead bodies of your servants, they have given us food, given as food for the birds of the heavens. Right? So this was a lament a lot of times because of Jerusalem was there. Unfortunately, okay, the blood they have shed like water all around Jerusalem. And it is a very difficult time for everybody, right? So as we take a look at some of the Psalms here, you begin to realize how much of that has to do with Jerusalem, right? So in Psalm 137, the psalmist cries out and he says, if ever I forget Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its cunning. Well, that's what we are looking at. And the sons of Korah are talking about Psalm 44. Watch this very, very carefully, right? So Psalm 44, we talk about how we've heard with our ears, our fathers have told us how what God did for the nation in the past. But now what happened is that Jerusalem seems to have been forsaken. And this was a really big problem. So Psalm 45 talks about how God's throne is a throne forever and it's a scepter of righteousness, and it talks about all of these things here, right? And this is absolutely important, how God will one day clothe Jerusalem and with all majesty, right? This is something that you want to think about very, very carefully. Psalm 46. There's a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. Right? Now, a lot of times we only look at God is our present, is our refuge and strength, a present help in trouble. But this is actually about Jerusalem. And this is a very important psalm to read. Psalm 48, sons of Korah, right? Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised in the city of our God. Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth. is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is in her palaces. Now, this is the kind of feeling that most who are, they are pious Jews, this is their regard for Jerusalem. I really wish that we have a very similar regard for our church. But a lot of people, it's just a church, 301. And it's nothing very, very much, unfortunately. But the attachment to Jerusalem is a very, very strong, deep one. Whether you're seeing from the Psalms of Asaph, we're seeing from the Psalms of Korah, or you take a look at it, the other places, the same, you will find this very, very strong, this where God says he will defend his nation. Now we take up to go all the way to Revelation 21 in order to catch a picture of what God will do for his people, right? So one of the angels, one of the seven angels, this they had great power. They had the seven plagues in their hands, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So this is a picture, right? Now, this is not a Jerusalem made by man's hands. There's a difference. This is a city that comes from heaven to earth. This is not a city that man can build. Unfortunately, we keep on thinking that Jerusalem is one that, you know, make it the center of everything, put all the embassies in the city, and they will be protected. Nothing doing. That's not what it is. This is a very special description of the Jerusalem that God will one day bring from heaven to earth. Right? Now, how big is this city? Well, let's take a look very carefully. Right? So here we go. It has... from heaven, from God, the glory of God it will have. The light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper, clear as crystal. So the first thing that we want to know, this is a beautiful city. It is full of glory. Right? Now, there's no glory. What is man's glory? Build another... whatever, another highway, build another tower, build another tall building, set it up with offices, that's it. It's another commercial building. I don't think Starbucks will be there. Think about these things here. Think about what God is going to, it is going to be crystal clear. Now, this is something that is, so the key word is light there, right? And she had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of. So it has to do with Jerusalem of old. Now, what are gates for? Usually, gates are for defense. Here, there's nothing to defend. This is now post everything. There's nothing to defend. It's just simply beauty to admire. I think there's a lot of difference between something which is something that's difficult to imagine how God was going to do it. But here, remember, it comes from heaven. It shows to us what it is. Right? So a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates. Now that's an amazing sight. Right? So what is he, what are the angels guarding? What are the gates? Nothing. Some things are just simply made with beauty in mind. Not necessarily for defense purposes alone. Right? In a past defense, the gates were beautiful things. They were either you know how to make them well or not at all. So great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates. And that's important, right? So then a question, of course, is when we look at the names of all the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, we have a bit of a problem here. Which are the 12 tribes? Are we looking at the original 12? In which case, it would be Joseph. Then Manasseh and Ephraim would be excluded. Right? But when you bring the two in, then you have extra one. Right? So that's going to be difficult. Well, so we have to let the Lord sort it out. I mean, how to do the 12? The same thing that we have 12 tribes of the children of Israel. If it's original 12 tribe, then Levi is one of them. Right? So they don't function in that capacity as priests anymore because it's one of the tribes, the original 12. But the idea here is that, you know, here they are also guarded by 12 angels at the gates. I think that's something that we need to look at very, very carefully. How do we get into the gates? Of course, I was telling the young people about this husband and wife. They were married for a long time. And then finally, one died. And then shortly after that, the other died. The wife died first. And so she was at these gates. And the angel was there. And so the angel said, if you can spell one word, then you can come in. And the angel said, can you spell the word love? And she said, yes, no problem, L-O-V-E, and just admit it. By the way, the angel said, now, here's an assignment, a short one. You just stand by here, I got something to do. You stand by, and then the next person, you say the same question. You know, you ask, how do you know you can come in? And so you have to ask the person to spell a word. That's it. And the ladies, they said, fine, no problem, I can do that easily. You take a break, and then I'll be here to mend the gates. And lo and behold, she saw her husband. And it was a really difficult time already. And the last thing she wanted to do was to bring her husband in. And so if she had to ask him how to spell love, he would get in. But he didn't tell her what, she didn't tell him what to spell. And then she thought, okay, you can come in if you spell this word. Spell Czechoslovakia. God case. Because how to spell the word? I think some of us may have difficulty spelling that word too. See, this is where all kinds of funny things would take place. But please understand, this gains and all these things are not entrance gates, okay? They are just to designate, to tell you how beautiful the city is, right? I mean, to have an angel on guard at the city will tell you how beautiful the place is, right? I mean, if you have a person who is there wearing a singlet and a pair of shorts, probably think twice, what kind of place is this? But this would be high walls, 12 gates, and it would tell you that it's pretty amazing to look at this beautiful city, right? Three gates at the east, three gates at the north, three gates at the south, three gates at the west. Now, all of these things are literally, it's a literal city, okay? The wall had 12 foundations. Amazing. How strong can you get when you hit 12? Look at these things here. 12 foundations. Right? Now, that's also another big problem. And on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Who are the 12? You have a problem. Right? So you have one replaced the Judas already. That's 12. What about the Apostle Paul? That's 13. Right? Again, here, let the Lord sort it out. But the point of it all, that these 12, what we call foundational ones, to honor them for the foundations that they have laid. Right? So if you were to try to look at all these things here, so we can look at the apostles and look at foundation. Matthew would be one of them. Gospel of Matthew would be there. John was one of them. There we go. There's the Gospel of John. But Mark and Luke are not apostles. So they would not probably, their names would not be on this foundation. Thank you. I would say that Peter was certainly there, no question about that. Paul the apostle there. And the others, how would the Lord decide? They don't know. All right? But the idea here is that this beautiful city that we are looking built on would be made up of, this is very important, part of it would be historic Israel. Part of it would be the significant work of the apostles in building. Now, interestingly, Jerusalem, that is the puzzle. How is it? And this is a very difficult thing to understand. How can this actually be understood? Remember, Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. And so he had written many, many profound thoughts, teachings in the book of Romans, in Ephesians. And there are lots of things that are really deep and profound. So the question is, how do we understand them? But the point of it all is that they are foundationals. Right? So we are looking at Jerusalem. Obviously, it has nothing to do with something which man-made. It is from heaven to earth, not from earth to heaven. Nobody can build this city. Jerusalem that we see today is not Jerusalem that we understand as described in Revelation 21, right? So this is very important. But nobody has heard of a 12 foundations of wall. I mean, foundation. Nobody lays 12 foundations. 1, 2, 3, again, foundations. What they are exactly, we don't know. The doctrines, the teachings, a lot of other things, these are foundations, right? And so he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates and its wall. And so the description of it all. The city is laid out as a square, length as great as its breadth. So it is equal all round. Right? So this is where we are looking at the great, as you know, and then it measured the city with a reed. 12,000 furlongs, length, breadth, height, all equal. Right, so this would be a very, very special city in this sense. Now that's pretty amazing. Right, so then we read, he measured his walls 140 cubits and all that. There is someone was trying to describe heaven and just, so this was actually a Bible scholar, interesting person. I used to read his books. His name is called Henry Morris. He's an old scholar. So he calculated, he says that on this earth, there will be, from beginning of time until, we will probably have 100 billion people who have existed. Right? So he calculated, maybe each one, a lot of people will die and they will perish and they will know the Lord. How many people will survive and go to heaven? He calculated 20 billion out of 100 billion. There's just a lot of people. Then he calculated further, I don't know on what basis, he calculated that if you were to build it up, looking at all the dimensions of that, where he got his ideas from, he says that each person will have an average acreage. Each heir will have an average amount of 75 acres, all yours. 75. What would you do with 75 acres for one individual to cover heaven and to cover heaven as if you can measure that? So 75 acres. Your neighbor is a long way away. If you are looking at 75 acres, in order to stretch from heaven, from one end of the earth to the other, or one end of heaven to the other, if you can ever. Now, of course, these are, sometimes I really wonder what these scholars in India are doing. They are actually very famous people. And then they come up with statements like that that makes you really wonder, what happened here? You had a bad night or what? I mean, what happened? Why are you describing heaven in this particular manner? I mean, 75 acres. I just cannot even imagine 75 acres, one person as your property. What do you want to put there? You put your name there. Why? I mean, it's a bit ridiculous. Anyway, just think about it. Right, so he's measured the wall, 144 cubits. And then the construction of the wall with jasper in the city was pure gold, like clear glass. Right? Now this is amazing. How can pure gold be like clear glass? I mean, you take a look at the gold, you can see a bit of a reflection. Right, unless it is more than the fine gold that we have, so that it is like clear glass. I cannot imagine. I've never seen a piece of gold that is that clear. Right, but this is to describe how beautiful the whole place is. He's trying to struggle with it. So the foundations of the wall of the city adorned with all kinds of precious stones. Foundation, jasper, sapphire, chalcedony, fourth emerald, and go on further to describe all the other aspects of fifth sardonyx, sixth, and the 12 gates were there, and the 12 things foundation. How to build on these things here, I very frankly cannot even imagine. Right? But the key word is to bear in mind that this is something that only God can do, and you cannot think about. I mean, when we think of foundations, we think of, you know, steel, and we think of a lot of these things. We think of all kinds of things in order to make it a strong structure. And here, God is thinking of precious stones as a structure. I mean, nobody uses precious stones to be in the ground. You take it up, polish it, you make it beautiful. Literally, the idea of the beauty is so deep that inside a foundation, there is beauty to be found. Right? I mean, we all understand how that works. And then the 12 gates were, can you imagine, 12 gates were 12 pearls. How big could the pearl be? I mean, you have to have a giant oyster, right? In order to present, to have a pearl that size. And then from the one pearl, make into a gate. You ask me how to imagine it. I really can't, right? But this is to describe to us how wonderful it is to understand and appreciate this. Right, so you can look at it and say, well, this is a very, very far-fetched thing, or we are looking at something that's beautiful. Right, so when we look at the description here, we are just looking at the description of a city. Right, the beauty of the city is so great, you compare it to a beautiful bride. Right, so don't try to describe, well, this must be a very fat lady because she's so deep, she's so broad. So this is not a description of a very fat wife. Don't run away with that kind of thing. But we are looking at a beauty of a great city that comes from heaven to earth. Not the other way down. Can anyone build this temple? No. Can anyone build a city like this? No. The reality of it all is that we are looking at something that God Himself alone can do. And all of these things simply reflect one thing, the glory of God. That's it. So how do you describe the glory of something? I mean, it's if you are a person, if you like gems and all that, and you look at one gem and look at it and say, wow, this is beautiful. Then you look at another one and say, wow, this is beautiful. And you look at another one and, whoa, this is beautiful. And then you look at 12 different things here and you look at it and say, how to describe it? Can't. Because each one has its own incomparable beauty to boast of. Put all 12 together and you are looking at the city gates, you're looking at all of these things here, and you're looking at how beautiful these things can be, right? Foundations, walls, gates are managed by angels, and this is just absolutely amazing. And it, all of these things reflected the glory of God. And, right? So, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. You just cannot imagine the quality of gold. And ours is 99.99999% and pretty dull compared to this pure glass idea. But it's actually gold. And to tell you that when you look at things like that, this is very, very important for us to understand. So, you know, every human being prizes all kinds of things, gold among them the most to them, most beautiful. And so this guy wanted to go to, told the wife, I am going to bring this to heaven. You can't stop me. I'm going to put it into my bag and I'm going to be buried with it and I'm going to go to heaven. So the story is told that he did go to heaven and he was carrying his luggage back with him. And then the angel asked him, what are you doing? How come you need to bring a luggage bag? He says, yeah, I want to show you what I brought. In a whole bag of luggage of gold bars. And the angel asked him, why are you bringing pavement? That's what it is. To us, it's gold. In the eyes of the angel, it's pavement. Why are you bringing pavement with you? I mean, seriously, you want to bring a bit of pavement ring home? What for? I mean, seriously, what is that all about? And this is something that helps us to understand what Jerusalem is like. Now, I'm just trying to find an equivalent. Right? For the Jews, it's always Jerusalem. Right, I just want to read for you the time when Sennacherib wanted to attack Jerusalem at that point of time. And this is what the Lord had to say. It's very important. It's an interesting thing to take. This is Isaiah 37. Right, let's look at Isaiah. Let's take a look at this, and we'll see. All right, this is again Sennacherib. And this was the king from Assyria, and he wanted to attack Jerusalem. It's beautifully described, right? So we read, this is the word which the Lord spoke concerning him. Right, first, Jerusalem described as the virgin, the daughter of Zion. Right, the daughters of Jerusalem. And they wanted to attack Jerusalem. And as far as God is concerned, God is going to rebuke Sennacherib. And this is what this Lord was said to say. Okay? The last part of it in chapter 37. Okay, this is very important for us to understand. Verse 32, out of Jerusalem. And talking about a remnant, those who escaped Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Now, the last part of it here, okay? And thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor build a siege mound against it. By the way that he came, the same way he shall return. He shall not come into the city. And the last part of it says this, I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. One angel versus the Assyrian army, 185,000. one angel, ratio 1:85,000. One angel is enough to destroy 185,000 hostile soldiers. There we go. And early next morning, there were the corpses, all dead. Right? Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed, went away, returned home, and then later on, his own sons killed him, murdered him. Now, that happens. This is God's defense of his own city. So when we talk about city gates, we are reminded of what God has done to protect his city. Right? And this is in the future. There is not going to be any attack of any kind because all the enemies have been defeated. This is post 1,000 years already. This is post everything. Right? So this is now coming to the end part of it. So we have a description of a city that is beautiful for its own sake. Beautiful. This is very important. Right? It will be made strong for its own sake because strength and its beauty cannot be separated. Right? The city is as beautiful as it is strong. Now, very important. You can have a beautiful city, but if it's not strong, it will be defeated very easily. So you find beauty and strength together here, plus the fact that all this physical, external beauty is also there. That's something that we all really don't want to take for granted. Sometimes we take too many things for granted, and we don't know how to appreciate the things which are beautiful. So when we want to think about a church, and one of the principles that we wanted to do to bear in mind when we build Bethany, always bear in mind that once we are talking about God's church, we cannot think in terms of, let's try and be as, take the cheapest material ever and then build it. Can't, won't. This is absolutely important for us. You might not know some of those designs. At every lobby that we have, every lift lobby, you see the lamps which are there, they're all made of alabaster. And this would be represents the love gift that contained the perfume that were given to the Lord. And this was a reminder to us. You want to give your best. Don't come up with second best thing to give to the Lord because it doesn't make sense. And though this is what we are looking at. So when God prepares it, it is so beautiful, you compare it to the Lamb's wife. And that's what it is. That's what the Lamb's wife is to the Lord Jesus, a beautiful church. Right? Now, this is something that we need to look at. So we have two things in comparison. One, the Lamb's wife. Two, Jerusalem. Right? And both are important. Why? Because in the New Testament, the focus is the Lamb's wife. In the Old Testament, the focus is Jerusalem. And both are now equated in a most beautiful way. How to describe Jerusalem in its beauty? And the writer says, this is how we ought to understand it. It is to be compared to the Lamb's wife. Now that is pretty amazing. So when we take a look at what this is all about, then you begin to ask yourself this quick question. How do we appreciate the church? How do we appreciate the Lamb's wife? How do we appreciate Jerusalem? And this is something that we need to look at both two ways. One, Jerusalem, in God's love, in God's design, in God's plan, in God's will. The church being the Lamb of the Lamb's wife. So you got to have the highest regard for both rather than one or the other because they are being compared. When they are compared, they are two different entities. Don't confuse the two as if they're one, they're not. So the bride of the church is the church. Israel is Israel. The church, not the same. You don't want to confuse the two together because if they are one, there's no comparison. The comparison is only possible when you got two separate entities. right? One is Jerusalem. How do we compare the beauty of it all? And the description is physical. Right? So, and the point of comparison here is how the church is regarded by the Lord. But the church regard God is not in terms of its buildings. Right? It's really not in terms of there are no gates, there are no walls, the foundations are there, but that's about the size of it. At the end of it all, it's just simply the concept of it all. And we need to compare two concepts. One, what does the church mean to us? Because the church is the Lamb's wife, as far as the scriptures are concerned. To have a poor regard for the church is to have a poor regard for the Lord's wife, the church. Bear this in mind. To become anti-Semitic is a very dangerous thing, because this is God's regard for Jerusalem. Right? So when you look at the world today, and you'll find that people despise the church, people look down on the church, they brush it aside like it's nothing, then our theology is seriously questionable, because the church is described as the Lamb's wife. Or to be anti-Semitic, it also begs the question, why? Because this is a description of Jerusalem as God plans it to be. He will personally build this. It is already there in heaven, and John has already seen it. It's when he will bring it to earth. Well, we don't know when, but we do know that the Lord has got wonderful plans in his heart, in his mind, and they will one day be revealed. And that to me is a beautiful thought. Right, so you know, I guard my own heart very carefully, no matter what it is. So this morning, somebody came to my office and said, "Pastor, this is a Christmas gift for you. This is to remember over 50 years of ministry here that you have done." And the person says, "And I was there for the last 40." He says, "I cannot forget how many years you have labored for the Lord." Well, sometimes we forget what it means to be a church. And the person said, "This is 50 years and counting." Well, you know, that must be, why do we serve like that? Because this is the Lamb's wife. That's very important. So when you look at this idea of the Lamb's wife, or how beautiful the wife has to be or is, then you begin to understand and appreciate what this is all about. It's just something very, very wonderful to take note of. And then when we think in terms of Jerusalem, if we think of Israel as a nation, and our prayer must be, Lord, firstly, restoration physical. Secondly, restoration spiritual. And then finally, restoration, as we understand it in Revelation 21, the deeply spiritual part of it, where God will bring in a very futuristic Israel, a Jerusalem, where it will become the center of it all. Well, this is something to ponder over very, very much. Right? So let's have a higher regard for the Lord's house, for the Lord's church, for the Lord's people, than we actually have. And then to consider again here, how do we regard Israel? How do we regard Jerusalem? Because God had the highest regard for it. Notwithstanding all the foolish, wicked, horrible things that are being done against it and by the people. Well, God has His own understanding of Jerusalem. And we have to learn how to treasure the both, because one is compared to the other. Right? So obviously, both are important. Both are precious in the lives of the Lord, the church and Jerusalem, rather than to confuse the two as one. Think about this. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus and how He regards the church as His bride. teach us how we can treasure the church in the same way. Help us to be able to have such noble feelings, thoughts, and prayers for the church. Teach us also to have a high regard for Jerusalem, especially the one that is already there in heaven, waiting for it to come down to earth. Help us to understand how this works. Help us to treasure this concept of the church and Jerusalem in your plan, in your will. We pray for your blessings. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.